5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Actually, it's not a game.
Oh, shit. I done pushed the record button.
Oh, you done fucked up.
All right.
I messed up. You done goofed. I guess.
We're all here. No, there's no
kings.
Such things.
One take kings.
Like he said, one take warriors.
Definitely said one take kings, you dick.
Whatever. Warriors, Kings, they're all the same thing.
It's technically.
Technically, we have a guest here, but you can't really hear him right now. He's
got to
speak into the mic a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
But, hey.
He's
just
dealing with some stuff.
Lee and I here, we got to apologize for our negligence of being able to push out these products. I know life has kind of put things on halt for us for a second. So we do just want to say that we are sorry, and we will get this stuff going back at regular again, whatever that was.
at least once a week. We're going to try. We'll do our best.
Yeah.
It's been tough for everybody.
Yeah, COVID is no joke, economically or whatever you want to put it. Granted, we don't want to put the COVID on at anything other than what it is, but it's still... here no matter how you want to look at it, but as you know, I'm D Money.
They just call me Lee.
And then we have a special guest, a good friend of ours and an aspiring author.
Yeah,
what do you like to call yourself?
I'm Wyatt.
Sometimes
I'm Wyatt.
Sometimes.
So how you been, Wyatt?
Just living the dream.
Yeah,
I just moved and just Browns take a pretty heartbreaking loss in the playoffs. That
yeah,
was pretty
sadly.
Tough.
I was disappointed. The Browns, they played well, I felt, honestly.
As a fan of the Ravens, I'm upset to admit that I was kind of rooting for you guys there. I mean, we lost, so I figured you guys could be the ones. They didn't blow it in Cleveland fashion like they usually do, so.
It even seemed like fate was, like, on our side for a moment. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is great. I didn't want to see him go out, of course, but yeah, I hope he's all is good with him and he's back for the next game, but we kind of had a lot of chances there and we didn't take them. I'm glad we got as far as we did.
Go.
I'm really happy with Baker. I think he did a really good job and he stepped up and showed that he's definitely a franchise quarterback. We have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and we had a lot of COVID issues too, so I'm proud of the season that we had overall. Going down to the defending champions is a pretty good
one. Absolutely. I mean, most people counted them out. Didn't even think they were making it that far anyway. So, you know, it's pretty impressive, I must say. Hopefully they can rebuild and prosper off of this.
You know, I've always been against Baker. I was never a big Baker fan. Everyone knows that.
I had my times where I had some doubt in my mind about whether he was the guy, but.
But here's the thing about Baker. Is it seems that Baker performed best when everyone was against him. You know, regardless of his actual performance, like he would go into the first quarter throwing, I don't even know, 0 for 7. You know, the next three quarters, he goes 11 for 11. You know, 150 yards. Boom.
He looked pretty... Inconsistency was one thing that I definitely picked on him for. But honestly, through this playoff run, looked pretty consistent. I mean, he definitely fixed it. So hopefully it stays that way. I mean, if he just comes back and builds off of what he had going towards the end here, they should be okay.
He didn't have a strong group of receivers around him. I mean, like you said during the game, he was leaning on Landry a lot and stuff. But overall, I think he's become a lot better of a decision maker this season. He had a lot of interceptions last season. And I mean, I kind of trust him to make plays with his feet as
well. He's definitely improving, so it's definitely nice to have.
He will continue to do the best that he can do. You know, one way or another, he's going to continue to be the QB for the Browns. Hopefully they get him some help.
He's definitely played a big part.
What else they need, though.
Yeah, he's played a big part in changing the culture. I mean, you know, him and Jarvis together have definitely changed the culture of the players for sure, and the fans.
And Stefanski as well. I mean, he deserves a lot of credit. He's right up there with Brian Flores on the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Took a team that had a lot of doubts and showed that they could do something.
Which is awesome. The division was extremely tough this year. Yeah. 100%. They were all very competitive. Well, everyone except for Cincinnati.
Well,
they beat the Ravens.
they beat the Ravens. The Steelers.
You know, surprisingly, though, the Ravens are notorious for giving teams that have low records wins. I mean, was it like 2012, 2011? The Dolphins were going 0-16 predicted.
Yeah.
Ended up being the Ravens.
Yeah, we played out to our competition sometimes. It happens. But honestly, if we don't figure out our offense, we're not making it back. There's no way. The first year having Lamar there, our offense being built around him the way it was pretty perfect. I mean, but it was new, so people had no idea what to do with it. Now they know.
Yeah.
And we don't have a pass game, so it's like 20 times worse. We have nothing we can do.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. Why? What do you think on that?
I think the Ravens have good pieces on offense and on defense that they just need more time. I mean, they have Mark Andrews. I think Dobbins could get your back for them. And I don't know how the chemistry between Jackson and Hollywood Brown's going to work out, but I like their defense also. I mean, I think Patrick Queen's good. Marlon Humphrey's definitely a one-of-a-kind cornerback, and he does a lot for their defense.
Peters is pretty solid.
Yeah, I do like Marcus Peters. And then speaking of the Dolphins, I mean, there's a lot of questions about Tua that I think...
Oh, we have so many questions.
Yeah.
So many questions. I don't necessarily know if... I don't know. I got to support him because he's my QB.
I've had to do that with Baker as well, so you know. I know where you're coming from.
Do I think he's necessarily the guy? I don't know. I mean, he's played well. He hasn't necessarily made, like, the worst rookie mistakes.
Even with the shortened season and the injury and everything like that.
I think he stepped in and played really well. I think something that's going to hurt him or the organization is that they definitely showed they don't have faith in him already. That's bad. You know, whether you guys, you know, I understand he's a rookie, but like if you pick him to be your guy, he needs to be your guy. If not, you're going to ruin his confidence for a while.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about that is they instilled it like, hey, I don't want you to feel bad. And it's wild because when I played for the Ohio Gladiators, this is what they did. I would come in kind of set as a Cam Newton. You know, I hit the 5-yard dunkers. I occasionally throw that post. But most of the time, predominantly, I'm running the read option. You know, some QB sneak up the middle. It's wild. But that's essentially what the case is here.
Yeah, I definitely feel like they didn't set him up or at least give him long enough to really prosper. I mean, the whole new thing for him. I feel like they could have sacrificed another season per se, or just let Fitzpatrick do the whole season and just build on Tua.
Well, here's the thing: is it really a sacrifice because they have a third round or a first round pick, number 3?
Yeah, I don't see it as a sacrifice. That's not what I meant, but like you know,
I think the best thing for them to do with that is, I mean, we all saw it in the championship game, is they should probably take Devontae Smith from Alabama, then they're going to have a weapon for Tua. And I don't, Fitzpatrick casts a pretty big shadow. I mean, he's a veteran and Tua they chose to go with and they were rumored to be going with, but it's he needs more weapons around him for sure. I don't know that players like Lynn Bowden and, you know, Preston Williams are going to really help. So once they get some more pieces, then maybe we'll see. But for sure, we could all agree that Justin Herbert was really, aside from Burrow, probably the best quarterback. I mean, he surprised us. Josh Allen, surprising. Yeah, Justin Herbert. Tua has a big measuring stick to go against with guys like that.
You know what? Hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I would like to you to explain what exactly it is that you do for work and why it is so important that you know this knowledge, because some people might be confused and like not understand exactly, like, man, this guy really likes it. But really, you do this for work, so it's kind of important that you know this stuff.
Yeah, so I'm a writer for a website called NFL Trade Rumors. And basically what we do is we just follow the news that's going on around the NFL with all 32 teams all the time. So we always have fresh content on there and stuff as to transactions, rumors. Like right now we're pretty heavy into like the head coaching cycle and, you know, who Robert Saleh getting hired by the Jets, Urban Meyer going to the Jaguars. We've been covering all that stuff. So
I do have to ask, so someone has to be covering that Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts drama going over there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so we've been following that a lot. I feel like opinions kind of mix now that they have like a new head coach potentially coming in. And so, you know, what's the new head coach going to think of Carson Wentz and what's he going to think of Jalen Hurts? He can review the tape, but for whatever style of offense he's going to install, you know what I mean? He has to choose between two different quarterbacks, essentially. And maybe it is Hurts, and if that's the case, then we might see Carson Wentz on the Steelers. I mean, Steelers, you name it, where do you think he's going to go? There's
that'd
options.
Be scary.
Steelers be need to, scary. Steelers really need to make a play for that.
There's a lot
next
of
generation. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure what will happen with Roethlisberger. It's hard to see him walking away after the ending that they just had to the Browns.
If he doesn't, the Steelers are in a tough spot because of cap space.
Yeah, we've covered that as well.
They have too many people that they would have to let go to keep Big Ben.
Yeah, they've restructured his contract a lot. So basically, he has the largest like dead money cap hit in the history of the league, and it's around $41 million. So he will definitely cause.
I think it's definitely something that is in the team's best interest, maybe, but they're going to need him for one more year. That's the sad part. They have nobody.
I think everyone agrees with that.
They need another year for sure, which may include getting rid of Juju or.
Do they get rid of Juju, though?
There's a lot of rumors about him being gone, I think.
Does he want out, or is that like something that
Johnson, well,
I remember him. I do remember him saying that he wanted a new brand or a bigger brand.
Could be. And you have to ask, has he already like soured himself with Steelers fans? How he's been doing the logo dancing thing, and he ended up paying for that against the Bengals when he got hit hard.
Yep.
Maybe that rubs the fans the wrong way. I'm not a Steelers fan, so
the team took the brunt of that too, because I gave them the fire that they needed to beat.
Oh, they all did all did that.
So I mean, he's not really focused on ball. That'd be great. I mean, really, their main person to keep, they're gonna want to keep, is gonna be Johnson. That's Ben's go-to at receiver. I watched him throw it to him 6 times in a row, one game after they were both having some questionable games, and I mean. The chemistry is there big time.
Yeah.
They went to Claypool a lot in the game against the Browns. I think he definitely has a future, but I'm not sure how I feel, and others I know feel, a receiver like James Washington. I mean, that's not a guy that is going to work out for them down the road, just like Rudolph isn't going to work out.
That would be insane to see. Dude, Rudolph, they should have let Rudolph go after Myles Garrett. Domed him with the helmet, but you know, it is what it is.
You think they should have got rid of Myles Garrett?
No, not Myles Garrett.
Rudolph.
I was Rudolph. Like, no, the Browns would be stupid. That's a guy you keep no matter what. Well, almost no matter what, but like,
I don't know. $95 million is a lot of money.
Dude's well worth it.
You think so?
Who else does it like Myles Garrett?
$95 million, man.
I don't
That's
know.
A lot.
I mean, I guess you could get like 3 players that's are cheaper like, that you know equate to it, but that's like three separate
Patrick
players.
Mahomes right there. Wait, that's not even a portion of Patrick.
That's
Mahomes.
Not even close to Patrick Mahomes.
Holy bro. Shit, is that crazy to think about or what?
Yeah, you won't see they just watched week. Him get knocked, looked like unconscious there for a second earlier in that game. So
yeah,
that's scary. I'm sure all their fans lost their breath there for a second when they and saw
it. It always looks so worse in slow motion. You know,
true.
It looked bad.
Yeah, it looked bad. It did look bad.
I ain't never seen someone look like a rag doll before.
And then not be able to stand.
Yeah.
Like a little baby like, gazelle, dude. Man, almost, couldn't stand.
Dude, that almost, they might be checking his spinal cord for that. Or not his spinal cord, but his neck.
Yeah. I think that, well, I mean, it was either that or when he came down, like his forehead literally smacked the turf.
Did it hit the turf?
Everything came down on the forehead first. Then the neck came afterwards, but yeah.
It was scary in last week's playoffs when at the very beginning of the game, the Rams versus the Seahawks, when John Wolford got hit by Jamal Adams and got taken away in the ambulance.
I did not see that one. I'll have to look it up. That's pretty crazy.
They try to keep him as safe as you can. I mean, you know, even the Patty Mahomes one, I mean, I thought for sure it was going to be targeted.
Oh, yeah.
Before they slow-moed it, but then I was like, well, he was nowhere near. Like, it was close, but, like, it was definitely shoulder, like, if that.
Can we talk about the part where they didn't call that helmet-to-helmet at all?
Or we could just skip it in because it's still fresh right now. You know? It's a fresh wound.
It's a fresh, fresh
that
wound.
That is wild, though.
Don't salt the wound, man.
That is some wild stuff. I feel like that's a pretty important call, especially when you see it on the big screen and everyone else sees it. And then you're like,
even minus that call, that's a goofy roll.
Yeah, the role is a
goofy role.
The role is a little strange that a team, and I'm trying not to come at this as a Browns fan as much as I can, but that a team could drive down the field and basically be ready to score, and because he tried to extend the ball to hit the pylon, which is more or less the goal, you know. So since that ball went through the back of the end zone, regardless of the hit, so we just lose the ball and they get it at the 20, like they don't even get it out of bounds right there or...
Yeah,
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think it's a little bit wild, and they'll probably look at that, honestly. It is something that maybe they revamp.
Right.
Honestly, I kind of wish that the NFL wouldn't have played this year. Yeah, due to everything, taking a season, because they really do need to revise some of the rules.
But do you know how much money they actually
lose? I know. They will lose a lot of money, but...
Hold on. Can we think about this for a second, though? Does the NFL recover from a loss year of solid production? I mean, you still just get your merchandise sales.
Yeah,
I
think
you're still paying
advertisement.
You're still paying your players. You're still playing.
They still have the TV contracts. I mean, they're a financial juggernaut. So I definitely think they will recover for sure.
Maybe not a year, but like they could have delayed the season maybe a little bit. I mean, there's
a little bit.
They could be. They should be working on it now. But that's definitely something that needs looked at. Is revamping that rule book, because there are some just goofy rules.
Dude, I'm honestly excited about this XFL bullshit or whatever's next.
The Rock taking it over.
Yeah, the Rock exciting. Taking that?
Yeah, I agree. XFL's had a lot of rule changes that they've put into their game, but in the NFL, I do think the stuff like the kickoffs needs to be looked at. I mean, how many times do you see him kick it into the end zone and take a knee? That can kind of get a little boring.
Yeah.
So... But XFL has kind of changed that around, so I'm excited to see what happens with it. I'm ready for it to come back.
Especially with The Rock on board. I mean, Vince McMahon had it in a really good spot, and honestly, if COVID didn't happen, would have been great.
And it produces prospects. I mean, look at Taylor Heinicke that came in for Washington and was trying to lead them against the Buccaneers. He was playing in a league similar to that, and, you know.
Yeah, what was that one dude? PJ
from,
Walker?
From Houston.
He got that start down there in Carolina.
Yes,
I don't remember
how he did.
I mean, I was hyped that he got in there, but
I would have liked to see Cardale Jones get moved up. I liked him in college. Obviously he didn't have enough tape to really say, hey, I'm a starter. But I think he looked pretty good in the XFL. I think another season and maybe he gets called up to the big leagues. You know, there's a shortage of quarterbacks going around right now, so it'd be nice as an NFL team, especially the Steelers. Can you imagine picking him up instead of wasting a draft pick? having to hope for a good draft pick. It was kind of a solid back, you know, like a solid backup. Somebody's got to take over Pittsburgh. So
yeah, the Steelers do need someone. I don't know if it's Cardale, but they've had Josh Dobbs, Mason Rudolph. I mean, they used both of them against the Browns, and it didn't really work out for them.
They had Michael Vick, too.
At one time, yes, they did.
Actually, my real good question for what's going on, where's Deshaun Watson going?
Oh, we want him over in Miami. Yeah,
hopefully to Miami. I know you want him.
That would be insane.
Bring him on over.
Hey, we'll give you two.
Yeah.
Give you two.
We'll give this developing quarterback.
Think JJ tries to go to Pittsburgh with his brother?
Oh,
I don't think they have the cap space for that. And he just...
If Big Ben leaves, they might.
He might take that pay cut.
He resigned with the Texans, so...
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He does a lot in Houston, though.
I mean, yeah. Just want to overshadow his brother anyway, probably.
Yeah, I think they would do best as premier pass rushers on separate teams, but I think JJ's kind of lost his form a little bit from where he was. DJ Watt is exciting. I'm more of a Myles Garrett guy myself, but...
Myles Garrett, TJ Watt.
Miles Garrett is a giant. TJ is like, yeah, man. He doesn't look like he could do the things that he does. But I watch him like steamroll tackles, like he's a 400-pound defensive tackle, and it's like,
yeah, I don't really know why, but he is a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's not bad, but
yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I guess. I mean, it's
what is going on?
A little wild.
We're having some technical difficulties.
Things are just like, I don't know, man. Because you guys were fucking with that Ouija board earlier.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You guys done cursed our table here.
Yeah, literally. The crystal ball is still
you
here.
You ever done some shit like that?
I don't mess with that, man. I'll mess with spooky supernatural. I once, but I'll never do it again.
That wasn't my first rodeo with the Ouija board.
Me either, honestly. I do have a couple stories, though.
Yeah.
Really. Now, they were all when I was younger, though, so it's, like, hard to believe if they were real or not, you know. One story was my best friend at the time, this girl, like, after we left, we were playing with the Ouija board, we left my porch, and me and my buddy at the time were walking around town. Well, apparently, she, like, passed out after we left. And they were like looking for us the whole time. And she said she came back from like this vivid dream or whatever she was having and saw that my best friend was dead by the trash can. And he was wearing a red shirt. Well, luckily that day he wasn't wearing a red shirt. So, like, we, you know, built this conspiracy where he could never wear a red shirt or go by the library in town there. You know.
Some sketchy shit. Don't mess with that.
Yeah, I've had fun with Ouija boards. It's always interesting to argue over whether or not someone's moving the planchet.
Right. Another time, though, is we were playing with it and... we actually started hearing some noises up, like, in the upstairs area. Now, we've never, you know, again, I was probably in, like, fourth, fifth grade, maybe. And the mom had lived in Ravenna. We were all staying there. Anywho, we were all downstairs and playing with this Ouija board. Well, we kept hearing shit going on upstairs, like, all this banging and stuff. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say what it was. But I know we were playing with the Ouija board, and that shit was trippy then.
The more years that pass, you know, kind of convince yourself that when you were a kid, that stuff that you saw, maybe it wasn't real, maybe it was all just part of your imagination.
Seems real at the point, though. I mean, it definitely seems that happened.
I always like to think that people do have these crazy, like, dreams or imaginations when they were kids, and that's how, like, we get movies or situations that
ghost stories
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Urban legends even.
Right.
Like Bigfoot?
I don't know.
Blair Witch?
Is Bigfoot real?
Slender Man. There we go. Slender Man got popular. Big time popular.
That whole thing was so weird. That whole
when it first came out, yeah, like super sketchy.
Slender Man is everywhere.
I don't know, dude. Kind of like an alien, I guess. I guess you could say. I don't know. It's weird.
You know, the crazy thing is, though, is that Supernatural would probably be the only thing that could, I would physically feel scared. Honestly. It's
Supernatural.
Huh?
Something supernatural is the only thing that could scare you.
I feel. Yeah.
It's something different for everybody. Like, as I tell people some of my stories and they're like, oh, I'm not scared of that because I don't believe in ghosts. But if I have another story where someone breaks somebody's house or something, they're scared of that because it's mystic.
Yeah. I mean, for me at least, I don't know for anyone else, I don't necessarily fear situational issues where, say, someone breaks into the house. I don't necessarily feel fear from that. No, it's more or less like I feel in that point in time, and maybe movies have done this, is like I feel like I could be a superhero at that point. Honest to God, I have the chance to be a superhero at this point in time. No matter what.
I mean, you do kind of, because like bad guys, I mean, sometimes like bad guys in the movies when they do that, like, are like fucking killing people.
Yeah.
Like, in most of your average break-ins, they're not going to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got super desperate to that point. So it's like you have to worry about like every person coming in with the intentions of killing you. I mean, I see like a lot of like robbery videos, like stores get robbed and they're like doing it with airsoft guns or something, or like BB guns. They're not even using real guns. So like I can understand that. The supernatural part though, that shit terrifies me. I don't mess with it. I just shut myself off to it.
Could be different though. Like, you guys are both bigger guys, so you're not really afraid of some average guy coming in and trying to rob your house. But if you were a 5'2" small person, or you know that you felt like you couldn't defend yourself against like a big guy, what I mean, that's definitely more scary. But maybe it's something that scares you, since that doesn't, is like some presence that's like beyond your control, that can have some supernatural power over you.
Yeah, because most of the time, every situation that I go into, I need to at least feel out that I have all control, you know, no matter what.
Yeah,
maybe not necessarily all control, but understand what is going on.
Can't throw hands with a fucking spooky ass entity. Right. That's for damn sure.
You know?
That's your Sam and Dean Winchester, man.
These motherfuckers kick open a door. Right. I'm looking there like, the wind did it.
You know?
Sell the house. We're leaving.
The house is settling. I don't know. Go get the blanket. Hide underneath that. They can't get you under there.
Can't get you under the blanket. Don't leave your foot hanging off the bed.
Go to the motel, they follow you there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Go
to the church, they just wreck you.
Close all doors. You better leave the hallway light on.
Oh, that's a must.
You better leave them all on, bro.
You gotta leave the door open, too.
I'll take the chance. We're sleeping with all the lights on. Get a spotlight, floodlight, just put it in your room, man.
Now, what happens if your ability to shut off the fear that you may generate from something like that? What if you're able to not feel scared in a situation? You know, where it's fight or flight, you always know that you got to fight no matter what.
Have to be a highly like trained individual that was just in his mind, he was capable of handling any situation, or just like a person with a superpower or a special ability.
I mean, I feel like a normal person could have that ability to where it's always fight.
Yeah.
And I say that because I feel like it's just based off of your mindset. Like, I don't think you have to have the mindset of like, oh, I'm a badass. It's just like
Jake
if
Paul.
I'm gonna, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm gonna go Jake, out, I'm going out
dude,
swinging.
Jake
there,
Paul
like,
literally
period.
Is a prime example of
this 2-0 record.
Yeah. Alpha out, bro. He's alpha out. No, but
he's
seriously.
Just annoying, though.
No, he is. Point. He is, but it brings money.
Yeah, it does.
Honestly, that dude outside of his character, he might be a cool dude.
I'm seeing ads on Facebook every time I scroll that Jake Paul calling out Conor McGregor fails, but someone else calls him out. You know, Jake Paul reached Conor McGregor's manager.
Talked about his wife. And,
yeah, you know. Got so, one of I mean, it's going somewhere. And, I mean, it's going somewhere, whether it's paid energy to it or not.
This is what I was saying, that, like, it's definitely a character. I mean, you look at somebody like Kim Kardashian. Like, I just found out recently, like, she's about to take her bar exam and be a lawyer.
Like her dad.
Right. You know, it's just crazy, though, because, like, you see her, and she's doing, like, her modeling stuff or the show, and it's like, no, dude. Like, you get so used to seeing the character that you don't see the person anymore, you know?
You know, it's funny, though, is I did do something that was along the lines of looking up Kim Kardashian's dad and Jeffrey Epstein's together. I can't remember precisely. I think they did work together, but I can't remember. But that's neither here nor there. But that is pretty interesting that she has decided to go.
She's got a lot of people out of jail, like prison and stuff, for like petty like marijuana charges or petty charges in general. So I mean, it's just weird to see that, like, from where you started your claim to fame to now you want to do something that we see as normal and be a lawyer. You know, like,
yeah,
she
wants
crazy
to get away from that celebrity TV. I think.
Yeah, the Kardashian show ended too, right? Like,
yeah,
they're done.
Yeah.
And then you got all this drama with her and Kanye. She's just kind of like stays out of it. She doesn't publicly come out and say anything. Like, she just stays out of it. So it looks good. So, I mean,
I guess what is happening, I did read something because Kim and Kanye want to get a divorce. So,
supposedly.
The whole thing that is happening is Kanye still wants to run for president. And he 100% wants to do this. But Kim wants to go and do her lawyer thing. So she thinks his presidency bullcrap is just baloney. She don't want to support that at all, I guess.
Just
allegedly.
Him having a manic episode, supposedly. Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it.
And then he's claimed that Chris has claimed he's crazy, tried to get him in psych wards on this. Like, he's saying that they made him do all that. I don't know. It's a pretty interesting story there.
I mean, we got sidetracked, but yeah, I feel like you're just either born with fight or flight. I really don't think if you're born with flight, we did. And it's easy to, it happens. But I really feel like if you're born one way or another, whether you want to change it or not, you can't. Like, it's like, I feel like it's embedded. Like, either you're going to fight or you're going to run. There are people that probably have a good mixture of both.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, that supernatural shit, like if I was approached or in a situation where some shit like that's happening, I'm going to anger. I'm going to antagonize. I'm going to throw. I'm going to fight it with everything in me.
He's
going to
throw. What if you weren't able? What if you had some, you know, disability holding you back, or whatever you were fighting just had the advantage over you then?
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be smarter to run. It all is situational.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, but I don't know. Things just like that just immediately piss me off. Like, I think it stems from childhood. Like, I used to have a lot of, like, vivid dreams. Almost as like I was, like, astro projecting. Like, I would go to leave my room, the door would shut. Like, I'd open the door and it would pull shut. Like, someone was pulling it against me and wouldn't let me out. And, like, I would just, like, instead of, like, okay, well, this door just isn't meant to be open and deal with it, I would get pissed. And I would, everything in me, like, whether it was a dream or something, but, like, it we'll call it a dream. Like, I made myself open that door, like, with everything. Like, I fought against whatever it was. It would open the door and step out, and it's just pure black darkness. So, like, anytime, like, I have reoccurring nightmares to do that, to where I feel like I'm stuck in a loop. And, it, you know, like, if I were to go back to sleep after I wake up, it continues from there. Like, the dream continues from there. The nightmare continues from where I left off. Like, I immediately go back into it. What? Like, I have to stay up until my body literally makes me go to sleep, or I go right back into that dream. And it's the most terrifying shit. Like, I go places. Like, I end up in a house. Like, me and my mom, we move into a house.
There's always a house.
And there's right, exactly. And, you know, sounds, it's super cliche, but, like, so, like, in certain spots of the house, I'm fine. But if I venture off too far by myself, I run into, and it's always this, it's a lady. It's always the same lady.
A succubus.
Probably. Wish, right? It'd be great.
A witch.
At least I enjoy myself a little bit, but no, but like, it, she always, like, I always try to fight. Like, I had one the other night where she had taken my daughter into a room, and I couldn't open the door. Like, I had to do everything that I could to, like, literally forcefully battle my way into the room, and then I woke up. Like, it's fucking terrifying.
That's wild. I don't have anything like that too much.
Oh, I have some crazy dreams all the time. I use them. Sometimes I have dreams I think they're so crazy, and then I use them for stories. And
so, I mean, we're on the topic of stories, so you are a storyteller. If you want to let the people know what you got going on there.
Yeah, so I've been working on my book now for a couple years, and it's a book of short stories. And pretty soon I'm hoping that I'm going to be in the process of publishing it. It has a little bit of something for everybody. It's centered around death. So there's a lot of stories about, supernatural stuff, ghosts, mysteries and murders, true crime, stuff like that. It has something I think in there for everybody. And, mainly I think I like to think I kept the stories short in it because there's a lot going on these days, you know, pandemic and everything. So short attention span might be the best if you want to get through a book.
Hey, you got that
right. Quick question though. What set you down this path?
I don't know. I've just always been writing ever since we were in school and stuff like that. I mean, I'm writing at my job and it's always something that I've enjoyed. So, and then another thing I'm into is just, you know, like scary movies and stuff. It's cool to write something that somebody is scared by or that somebody finds interesting. So if I can hook somebody in with one of my stories and give them a good cliffhanger, they don't know what's going to happen next, then I think that's fun for me.
Right. Okay. I mean, that sounds like a good time.
I always get down. I love short stories. I'm a big fan. Always have been.
Get you in and out, you know?
Yeah.
But it's definitely exhilarating because it's like, you know that it's a short, so you get to go to another one afterwards. So like, if you had to draw inspiration from like, you know, like a movie or movies, you know, such you said you're into, you know, the horror, the horror films, like what would be like your top two or three?
I mean, you even have subgenres of horror.
Right. You know, it doesn't have to be like straight up like bloody horror, but like top two or three, you know, that really gave you, you know, inspired you or weighed on your mind.
I'm not sure exactly. I mean, everybody knows I'm a big Stephen King fan, so I have read all of his books, and I don't know if I so much draw inspiration from that as much as I do like him writing books of short stories where, like you said, I can go into one and be totally sucked in and wonder like what's going to happen next, or my mind is blown and then it's just done and it drops you off and you're going next story. But as far as like movies and stuff, I don't know, maybe I would say like A Nightmare on Elm Street or something where it just like gets you thinking these ideas or and then I get like stuff that I dream, you know, you dream things that you think are scary and I incorporate that stuff also. So,
right. It's just like a mixture of all things, you know,
right.
Like a slasher mixed with a true crime.
Right.
Like your killer's always kill. Wait, well, is it, like you said, it's not necessarily always, true crime. It could be supernatural, but I'm curious, are the true crime stories, are those more along the lines of emotional killings inside of them?
Sometimes, yeah. There's some of the stories are mysteries where you're trying to figure out what really is going on at a particular scene. Or, I mean, they definitely leave you guessing. I like to leave my reader guessing and wondering what's going on. And people that are looking at my stories and I'm showing them, they can't really figure out like how it got to that ending. You know, they definitely think one thing is going to happen and then another thing ends up happening. So really what I like to do is, you know, encompass the person in the story and make them guess what's going on next, I guess. The killings do get emotional and stuff in the true crime, but sometimes it's supernatural. Sometimes it's perfectly illogical murder, or, you know, there's a serial killer. Some of it's pretty, I mean, visceral. I'd like to say that young adults are the reader that it's geared towards. There's not too much violence or anything like that in it, but there are some quite scary scenes in it.
Now, would you say that you have put yourself in these situations, or you feel you've put yourself in these situations? So when I say like emotional, do you feel that emotional connect when you're inside of these stories?
Some of them, yeah. I mean, I like to think about like what scares me. So if I'm writing the story and I'm by myself and it kind of gives me like goosebumps or something, I'm like, oh man, you know what I mean? Or if I get a good idea while I'm like in the shower, oddly enough, I'm always like scrambling to get out and write it down. But the characters are mostly static. I mean, the stories are pretty short, so I don't go too much into, you know, I wouldn't say this is D-Money from Sebring. I would just say, you know, this is D-Money and he's in this situation. And it kind of does put you in the situation a little bit of like what you would do, you know, if you saw some of the stuff that was going on. So I kind of use other people for inspiration in my life, definitely more than myself. I wouldn't say emotionally or from a killer standpoint or anything like that. But yeah, I think they're all scary situations in each of the story that a person would be read, you know?
Yeah.
Current events. I mean, you're still working on the project. So, like, have you incorporated any of the current events, like COVID or anything, into any of your stories? Or was that like towards the end of, you know, you were almost at the finished project?
I hope there's an apocalypse in there. There ain't something close to it.
Wait, you're hoping there's an apocalypse story?
Something.
I have a really interesting, I don't really like sci-fi that much, but a couple of them would definitely fall into the sci-fi category. And one of them is end of the world, extinction of the human race scenario. So yeah, there is one in there.
Snap.
Definitely, definitely something that, you know, we can all relate to, especially during this past year. I mean, when this first started, we all thought like, you know, this shit's real. Like,
we're living in a movie.
Yeah, we really are.
I don't have a title right now for the book, but one of my working titles, like when I was working on it at the beginning, was like a quarantined mind, like something about, you know, a book to, you're curled up and you're stuck inside, you know, and you're just going to read this book and scare yourself with it for a day or something. There are some stories in there about the pandemic, actually, so. Yeah, there are current events. I also, one of my stories is inspired by Tiger King, so that's another one. That's kind of not current events, but yeah.
Joe Exotic. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Joe Exotic's just a psycho killer. Just out of
the story's called I'll Never Financially Recover From This.
Oh, shit.
It's not really.
That's funny.
Crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, how's it feel to be, you know, most towards the end of it here? I mean,
It feels really good. Like at first I started with like, I remember a time when I only had 7 stories written and then I had 15 and then I remember I had 25 and now I have 40. I don't even know if I could fit them all into the book. Some of them might have to be cut out.
Like a part two.
That's what I'd hope for. I don't know. Yeah. People always tell me that to just stop what I'm doing, and I don't have any stories that I don't have an ending for. They all have an ending. They all have a definite finish. There's definitely some things left unsaid in the book, but maybe in the next installment, there'll be a part two to one of the stories. Or I'd just like to, I don't know. I'd like it to suck people in like a Netflix series. And instead of binge watching it, you could binge read it. And then maybe one day you can binge watch it. Maybe it'll
an ultimate goal for you.
Yeah, like a Black Mirror thing.
So. Yeah, Black Mirror was great. I think, I don't know if that inspired
too
me so much.
Sexual content.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, but like kind of how it's set up where each episode is a different story.
Mine's
a
little light on that.
Yeah.
I don't put too much of that stuff into mine. Slightly, but not very much.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see it turned into something like Black Mirror. I mean, Black Mirror, my stuff's a little off the wall, but Black Mirror goes out there sometimes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so,
like, in a way of like, you know, like I said, like how it's each episode's its own story. Yeah, like, that'd be cool.
That would definitely be my goal. So, because
I mean, it could easily lead to that if you think. I mean, how you have it set up, it's pretty moved, you know, easy to move over there. I mean,
there's so many streaming sites out there now, you know what I mean? Hopefully somebody would want to turn it into something, and I'd hope to maybe once this book does well, if I could do a second one, like if I'm always getting inspired to do new stories, so maybe I'd be able to get like a advance or something. I'm not too familiar with how it all works these days, but right. To write the next one, or you know, to produce a script or something along those lines would be great.
So I mean, like, do you have any plans as far as, you know, how you're going to distribute? Are you going to be like, is it going to be like audio? Is it going to be, you know, just downloadable paper, hardcover?
I'm hoping a hardcover, or maybe I have no idea what the cost for stuff is, so maybe a paperback. I'd like it to be hardcover, but maybe we'll be sitting here reading the stories and doing the audiobook. I have no idea.
Heck yeah.
I definitely want to look into Amazon and see, you know, what type of package or whatever it is that they offer for being able to sell your book through there, but I definitely have to look into all that stuff and find out how to get a cover and illustrations for the book and different things like that that I haven't really put too much thought into yet.
Yeah, you could almost do like a limited release with the you know, the hardback or something. I say that because of the technology age we're in. Everybody's
Chad mentioned a Kickstarter for sure. Yeah, GoFundMe so that you could pretty much, you know, sign up on the Kickstarter. I'm not sure how it works, but basically people would, you know, pay the money and they'd get a signed copy of the book. I don't know how I feel about doing that, but
I mean, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to keep it yours.
Yeah.
That way. So
that's true. I'm not sure how much money it costs for someone to go out and publish a book. I know people in Alliance and local people that have definitely published books. So it's a possibility. I mean, there's unlimited amount of books out there. Someone's publishing them. Someone's writing them.
Oh, for sure.
That's how they're getting turned into scripts.
I imagine you can find a publisher that you really want to publish your work and just send it to them.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how it would work about sending your book to them or your manuscript or whatever so they could read it and publish it, but that is another idea I haven't even looked into.
Basically, funny story. Way back when, I actually applied to try to be a model. So I just found a modeling agency that I wanted to go to, sent them an email, let them know who I was, and they just emailed me back. Usually you can find a directory through a viable publisher. So I would definitely look into that. Maybe you can send them some stories. They can get you some quality critiquing back.
Yeah, definitely.
I would definitely cover myself as to make sure you get your stuff copyrighted, documented that you sent it in, so you don't get ripped off by somebody else.
That's true.
That's like, I mean, that happens a lot. Sadly, I mean, it's something that happens. So like,
everyone's going to be like, no, I put Elvis in here and he put John.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like if it gets made into a show or something like that, if you lose creative control. But I've submitted the stories in the past to like short story contests and I've had like a mixed bag of results. Some of them, they said they were too violent and defiling Christian morals. It was a little bit of a religious type of story, but I don't think it was really what they were looking for, but I think it kind of made me weird about letting people see my work. I'm trying to open up more to it now.
That kind of definitely plays into, you know, with distribution too. Now you got to look at if it's something like that, who's going to carry it.
Yeah, I've toned a lot of that stuff back if I had any of it in the stories. And I have a few people that I trust to edit it and look at the stories to say that's too much or that doesn't make sense. And hopefully everybody will get to see it and enjoy it.
But if that's what I say. Say if you do it yourself, you know, and just do it all online or something like that. I mean, you get to keep it how you want it. You know,
Basically what you're saying is you don't necessarily need to look for a publisher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I mean,
because then you could lose that creative control.
I'd like to figure out to put some type of team together that maybe knows a little bit more than I do about marketing and, you know, how to get the book out there, how to distribute it. Yeah.
Like a PR team.
Yeah. I mean,
that's not a bad idea.
I have big goals for it, so I don't want to just publish it and let it sit there being anonymous and no one reading it. I mean, you could go in somewhere like a dentist office and drop a copy on the table and maybe somebody will pick it up or, you know, I don't know.
You want to feel more active in the process of growing it.
I mean, with the internet and stuff, anybody can get anything out there. So why couldn't I get the word out there about the book to, you know, a reader's group somewhere, anything like that.
Something, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, that enjoy horror, you know, like an Edgar Allan Poe, I don't know, society.
It's not impossible.
Yeah.
Kind of like Comic-Con, but for horror. The Horror Hound or something like that, yeah.
Everybody gives me ideas on different ways to spread it around. And
I honestly think there was this, I don't even know, just keep going on with what you were saying. Everyone was telling you.
Everybody's been giving me good support and stuff and like different ideas on how to distribute it. So that's kind of like something that's been exciting to get like good feedback, you know, from everyone.
Yeah, it is nice to know when someone verbally gives you that feedback, or not even necessarily verbally, but is able to write it down for you and let you know what's going on. Like, hey, we felt this part was a little weary. Maybe you should go back and check that out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, everyone needs that.
It is nice. So it is awesome that you are writing a book. I know in my ventures it's been such a long time. I used to write poems a lot. I wrote a book in high school one time about the furthest my writing accolades went.
Was it about?
Dude, I don't know. These guys went up to a mountain. Had to.
And? Tell me
more.
They had to like capture something. It was like some kung fu fighting movie, kind of like Mortal Kombat.
I'd read it.
It was fun. I like writing. That's the cool part about it. There's so many things that you can do with writing, though.
Anything.
You can turn anything that you want. Anything.
Yeah, my stories are. Some of my stories are pretty brutal twists, or you think one thing's going on and it's another. I mean, it's really fun to like let your imagination just like run wild while you're on the page. Or like I'll have shampoo in my hair in the shower and be trying to wash my hair and think up a good idea and hurry up and get out.
It's got to be like real quick, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta get this down. Keep a notepad by the shower.
Dude, you know it is a real struggle. Sometimes I'll have a real good thought and I'm like, man, I got to write this down. As soon as I open my phone,
forget it completely.
I go to Facebook, go to internet, go to banking, go to Six Games, go to Instagram, get off my phone and completely forget why I was on there to begin with.
Short stories for a short attention span.
Never even write the thought down. Can't even make it to the notes because I forget by the time I open my phone.
Right. I feel it. I mean,
real hard. It's definitely cool.
So why do you have like ATA, you know, do you know this year, next year?
Well, I don't know, because every time I go back to look over my story and re-edit it, I end up changing something because I'm like a perfectionist, I guess. So I'm always trying to craft it. But all my stories are done right now. Mainly it's just like figuring out what comes next.
I've heard that. That's the toughest part. As you know, writers get to the end, they just have to go. Like a lot of them say, you just let it go, stop changing.
Yeah, it's hard.
It'll never get out.
Why don't
you
like call a limit? 15 stories. That's, I mean, you could probably push out 5 more stories. That's 15. That's 3 books.
Yeah,
3 books.
Well, I like to it would be great to do it that way. I think it's possible, but I'd like to have at least like maybe 5 people sit down and like read the book and give me their opinions on like what stories they thought were scary, which ones maybe they didn't understand. And then I could cut those out and those could be the ones that I worked on for the next book, or, you know, tried to rework those ideas somehow. So
hey,
that's a good idea too.
I'm sure Lee and I would always be down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I love like just telling them too. Like I like telling how I have told you guys some, just the stories, and they're interesting with telling people the plot or whatever, just basically, and seeing what they think about it. And like, oh, I'd like to know more about that. I always like doing that too.
It is nice to leave people wanting more.
Absolutely, I mean, that's the way of the world.
that's a fun part of being a storyteller, for sure. You get to decide when it's over.
You should put a horror story in there about the Browns season and how it ended.
Yeah. I do feel bad for the Browns.
That's like a kind of a triumph, though. I'm pretty happy about the whole thing. I mean, right. It was tough. I think
as a Brown fan, you've come a long way.
Man. People have been waiting for these results for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they keep it consistent.
Yeah. Well, Wyatt, it has definitely been a pleasure diving into your brain there, talking to us about the sports world, a little bit about fear, eliminating that. I don't think it's physically possible for us to eliminate fear.
There's ways.
Well, unless you're a psychopath.
Well,
I mean, even then, you still have fear. You fear of being caught of whatever sometimes. It is that you're doing.
Sometimes.
I think fear is inevitable.
There's got to be a way to block it. Just remove it from the brain.
You got to tell me more about what you're saying with the suit.
Oh, I think there's the best way we can block fear. I mean, at least from weapons, bullets, anything that could kill us. Apparently, we do have some bulletproof skin in the works. It's where they generate silk from the spider and milk from the goat. So they crossbreeded those two. And the baby goat had an offspring. That baby goat, or the offspring of those goats, that baby goat can now produce spider milk. It has the proteins of the spider web in its milk. They can abstract that protein, put it into a web form, and when they shoot at it, the bullet don't go through it.
That would be, so it's like an exo? Like suit for people? That'd be terrifying.
I don't know.
That'd be cool.
Or a shield.
How does that work?
That ain't gonna work, dude. The impact is still gonna.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that's gonna mess you up.
I mean, you're gonna get some internal damage.
Maybe with a 22, it wouldn't hurt too bad, but like, anything higher than that, you're gonna feel that.
Is it gonna be corona resistant? That's the most important thing.
I think that's what they should build it for, is to be the corona resistant, man.
It's pretty cool. It's on my chart, you know. I mean, we got the pods that we can travel from.
The Elon Musk pods.
You know, whatever, the Tesla pods.
I can talk about teleportation a little bit for sure. We could get into that one another time.
Well, you guys might get it. You guys, it sounds like you guys are getting a part two with Wyatt for sure.
We got the car that I think it's a concept car that's like the middle is a gyroscope. In the window, you kind of like lay back and you can basically go 360 degrees just by spinning this ball.
Right.
That's pretty cool to me. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting things that we can.
I have a lot of anxiety that was going on, but maybe once I saw it in motion, I'd feel a little bit like a hamster. I feel like.
Oh, yeah. You look like a spider. It looks like kind of like a spider. It's interesting.
That'd be fun.
It is very interesting. Hey, but that's all I got today. I don't know.
Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Like I said,
we're definitely gonna have you back.
I'd love to.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, you guys know what to do. Hold up.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, but Twitter's not very active. If you would like a shout out, let us know. Always down to give the shouts.
Absolutely. Share it with your friends. If you guys are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us some reviews. Definitely like to get your guys' feedback. It helps us too as creators. It's been a crazy journey. You guys have been great.
It's been awesome to watch, definitely.
It's definitely been crazy. So we appreciate you guys listening. Just share it up, man. Let's keep this ball rolling. We're looking to get back on track here, be more consistent with what we got going here. So definitely got some things in the works for you guys. So stick around, man.
And hang out. Balls in, balls out. D-Money signing out. Peace.